Welcome to another edition of Insights for Today with pastor and educator, Dr. Paul Cates. For the past 40 years, Dr. Cates has devoted himself to childhood development, education, and spiritual training, as well as pastoral ministry. This podcast is designed to be an encouragement to anyone of any age who desires to live effectively as a Christian. Now, Dr. Cates.
I can get bitter, or I can get better. We are getting ready for Thanksgiving Day, and Scripture says, in all things, be thankful. Back during the dark days of 1929, a group of ministers in the Northeast, all graduates of the Boston School of Theology, gathered to discuss how they should conduct their Thanksgiving Sunday services. Things were about as bad as they could get. There was no sign of relief. The bread lines were depressingly long. The stock market had plummeted, and the term Great Depression seemed an apt description for the mood of our country. The ministers thought that they should only lightly touch upon the subject of Thanksgiving and indifference to the human misery they saw all about them. After all, what was there to be thankful for? But it was Dr. William L. Steiger, pastor of a large congregation in the city, that rallied for the group. This was not the time, he suggested, to give mere passing mention to Thanksgiving. It was just the opposite. This was the time for our nation to get matters in perspective and thank God for blessing us always. Now, these blessings were perhaps suppressed due to intense hardship at the moment, and they were severe. It was the Depression. Most of our families went through that. But I want to suggest to you something. These ministers did strike on something that's important for us to think about. The most intense moments of thankfulness, they're not found in times of plenty, but when difficulties abound. Think of our pilgrims at first Thanksgiving. Half their number had died. They were men without a country. But yet there was thanksgiving to God. Their gratitude was not for something, but in something. It was that same sense of gratitude that even led Abraham Lincoln to formally establish the first Thanksgiving Day in the midst of our national Civil War, when the butcher's list of casualties seemed to have no end, and our very nation struggled for survival. Would there ever be again a United States of America? Perhaps right now, your own life, there is intense hardship. You are experiencing your own personal Great Depression. And you ask at this Thanksgiving time, why should I be thankful this day? I want to suggest three things. One, we must learn to be thankful today, or we will become bitter. Even the mention of the word conjures up a particular look upon the face of a bitter person. This is a person who is constantly unsatisfied with their life. Nothing makes them happy, and they purposely make life miserable not only for themselves, but also for those who have the misfortune of being around them. The bitter person becomes absorbed with the question of, why me? And that person feels that he has been shortchanged. Dr. Jim Moore, a Christian author and pastor of the 12,000-member St. Luke Methodist Church in Houston, Texas, several years ago wrote a little book. Maybe some of you have read it. It was entitled, You Can Get Bitter or You Can Get Better. He told the story of a 26-year-old woman in his congregation whose husband died in a very bizarre accident. The man's tractor brushed up against a hot electric wire, and it killed him instantly. Now, here she was, 3 children, insufficient money, hopes were dashed. She said, I don't know what I'm going to do without him. But she said, I do know what my choices are. I can get bitter, or I can get better. And she said, I'm turning to the church so that I can get better. She underscored a universal truth you and I need to grasp onto today. When trouble slams us, we do have choices. Ralph Stockman, a renowned minister of a generation ago, used to express it this way. He said, a grief is a sorrow we carry in our heart, but a grievance is a chip we carry on our shoulder. All of us must face trouble. None of us are immune. Indeed, I stand before you and sharing this message as one whose clerical robe has provided me no shelter from misfortune. As many of you know, it's now just a little over a year ago that in the early hours of the morning at 4 a.m., 4 young men invaded my daughter-in-law's and my son's home. And they had the determined one mission to kill everybody that was in that home. They succeeded in brutally murdering my daughter-in-law in unmentionable ways with a machete and a large knife. And they thought they had also murdered my granddaughter, who survived by pretending to be dead, but it took 15 and a half hours and 15 surgeons to put her back together again. We all face hardships. At one time or another, trouble comes upon all of us. And we have that burden on our shoulder. And Jesus says one thing to me as he says to you during these times. Come and walk with me a while. Did you ever wonder why it was that 9 of the 10 lepers never returned to give thanks to Jesus? Well, we're never told. Maybe they became embittered, and all the thankfulness have been squeezed out of them. There is only one antidote for the embittered mind, and it is for God, the Holy Spirit, to give us a thankful heart. When we request this and we receive this, that becomes a witness to others, that others even around us can take heart, rather than becoming dour disciples. I pray that you and I will not become self-absorbed with the issue of why me this time. For a season it might offer some comfort, but it does no good in the very end. Do we ever ask that question when some joy comes into our life? Not really. We must learn to become thankful. Or, as I said before, we'll become bitter. Secondly, we must learn to be thankful or we'll become discouraged. It's an inescapable tenet of Christianity that hardship will come to all of us. Not one of us is immune, not from the greatest to the least of us. But there's another inescapable tenet of our faith. We are not to become discouraged. The Bible tells us that God is an encouraging God, and God has provided us with an encouraging book. Jesus said this, "Let not your heart be troubled." And at another time he said, "Fear not, for lo, I am with you always." And Paul encouraged the Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always." If you and I reflect on some of the events in our lives as we're getting ready for Thanksgiving, I challenge you as I challenge myself, ask yourself this question. If it had not been for God, that's the question I'd like for us to focus on in the next days leading up to Thanksgiving. Where would you and I be right now? Where would we be if it was not for God? Where would I be? Isolated? Mentally broken? Financially ruined? Physically destroyed? God has not let us down. Scripture says, be of good cheer. As we sit down this Thanksgiving with our family, as we look around ourselves, ask yourself this. Where would I be without those God has still left here? Where would I be if God did not give me the ability to see these hardships through? The Apostle Paul wrote, "In everything give thanks. But do you remember all the things that you went through?" It is not the test of faith to give thanks when the sun is shining. It's not the test of character when everything you touch and I touch turns to gold. It's not the test of our mental when we have won the election. The test comes when we've been knocked down. You and I must learn to give thanks to God who has planned eternity and who we plan to spend eternity with. Over and over again, Scripture makes it clear that God delights when you and I have a grateful heart and turn the matters over to Him. Therefore, may our prayer be in times of trial. O God, you have given us so much. I pray that you grant us one more thing, a grateful heart. We must learn to be thankful, or we'll become discouraged. And third, we must learn to become thankful, or we shall surely grow arrogant and self-satisfied. Mankind is certain that whatever he has achieved is of our own doing. But the truth sometimes takes time, teaches us that none of us are independent. When we give thanks, we reach beyond ourselves. I can remember the scene with Jimmy Stewart's movie, Shenandoah. The time frame was the Civil War, and Stewart is the father of a very large family. Each mealtime, as they gather around the table, he gave thanks the exact same blessing. O Lord, we planted the seed, then we harvest the crop. And if we had not put that food on the table, it wouldn't be sitting there. But Lord, we give you thanks anyway. That's the problem of a thankless heart. We many times give credit the credit, honestly, is not due. When we give ourselves to self-congratulation, then we inevitably set ourselves up for fall. Forgetting the law of nature that says what goes up can and always will come down. How quickly trouble can come. I know. Telephone call. And our life is turned upside down. National crisis. 9-1-1. The Dow takes a dive. Our retirement that we saved for all of our lives are gone. Our job, who we thought we would have and to the day we retired, is lost. How quickly our lives can change. There are many things that confound you and me in life, but the one anchor of our soul should always be that God is good. Martin Rinkert was a minister in a little town of Ellenberg in Germany some 350 years ago. He was a son of a poor coppersmith, but somehow he managed to work his way through an education. And finally, in the year 1617, he was offered the post of archdeacon in his hometown parish. A year later, what had come to be known as the 30 Years' War broke out. His town was caught right in the middle. In 1637, the massive plague that swept across the continent hit Alsenberg. People died at the rate of over 50 a day, and the man was called upon to bury most of them. And overall, there were 8,000 people who died, including Martin losing his own wife. His labors finally came to an end about 11 years later, just 1 year after the conclusion of the war. His whole ministry spanned 32 years. All but the first and the laster were overwhelmed by the great conflict that engulfed his town. Tough circumstances, to say the least, in which to be thankful. But he learned to be thankful, and he wrote these words: "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices." It takes a magnificent spirit to come through such hardship and to express gratitude. Here is a great lesson. Surrounded by tremendous adversity, thanksgiving will deliver us with heart and hand and voices. Amen.
Who from
hope you've enjoyed this edition of Insights for Today with Dr. Paul Cates. For more information about his ministry and special services to homeschooling parents, please visit us on the web at paulcates.org. That's paulcates.org. And please feel free to share us with your friends. God bless you today.